Yeah, our message that we have today is called The Gift of Promises, and we're looking at the different gifts. On Tuesday evening, we're going to have The Gift of the Child is going to be the title for that. And really, all of the gifts that we were talking about, the gift of prophecy and the gift of angels, the gift of promises, they're all coming to the fulfillment of the gift of the child as we're looking through those. So let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this word that we have and that we're able to share this word. I just pray for the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and to massage them, to make them pliable, to be able to hear your word, to hear what's spoken that you need each individual to have. You teach us, Lord. You show us the truth. And that reflection of that truth comes into us and we're able to just hold on to it. We just appreciate all that you do for us. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at a couple Old Testament scriptures about the promises that God had for the people. And we're going to be kind of looking at the fulfillment of those promises. And then we're going to be getting into some New Testament stuff as well. And not that they're different. I mean, God's promises is God's promises. I mean, it's like you can't really like separate those. However, he does promise specific things. You see on that sheet all different areas of where the promises are. But it's just really neat to be able to look at this. So I want you to see how solid, rock solid, God's promises are, at least in the Old Testament here. We'll start out in Joshua 21, 43 through 45. I want you to remember that Moses was the individual that God worked through in order to free the people from the bondage of the Egyptians. And then they wandered in the desert for 40 years. They were supposed to go into what we call the Promised Land. Okay, that kind of goes along with the theme too, right? And they go into the Promised Land eventually. Because now a new generation has come through and their hearts are right with God and they're able to enter that new promise get a fulfillment of the promise that God has for them. But they have to work at it. They get in and they have to conquer areas, but God is with them. They have to conquer the Canaanites and the Philistines and the Hittites and all those ites that they have to deal with. But in the end, the land becomes the Israelites, just as God promised. And it says here, so the Lord gave Israel all the land that he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side. That just means that there's no enemies kind of jumping in on them, right? Just as he had sworn to their forefathers, not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all of their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was filled. Think about that God's promises came true. Every one of them. Now, I'm sure that when the Israelites were going into the Promised Land, if you remember Scripture, that there was they had to cross the Jordan River before they were going to go in and kind of surround Jericho and just kind of walk around that. But the Jericho River was at flood stage. And the priests who were carrying that ark had to walk into the water and touch that water before the water stopped miraculously upstream and the ground became dry as people were walking across that. That's a sign. I mean, you have signs like that all the time that it's the right time in which to go into the Promised Land because God is making a way for that to happen. Now, if the Israelites tried it any other way, my guess is that flood would have been even a bigger flood and they would have struggled to get across and maybe they would have gotten across, but it wouldn't have been a blessing the way that was originally. But they came in and they were able to take every bit of land that God promised them. They were over to win every battle that God gave them. There wasn't a failure at all on God's part. Now that is a God that says something's going to happen, and it does. For me, the difficult part is, it doesn't happen like 2 minutes after he says it. It could be years, it could be generations before that happens. And I don't really understand that about God. But there's this thing that's called faith. And if you trust and believe that God's promises will come true, then that's what we have to hang on to. So these Israelites, they were able to experience the fulfillment of God's promises. And to actually, literally, see the rest that came from being able to be in that land, which is really awesome. Let's look at this one here in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56 through 58. Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to His people Israel, just as He promised. Again, so, now this is a situation where King Solomon is saying these words here, because the temple has been built, and God, as He promised, says that I will dwell with you. And the presence of God came into the temple at this time here. So much so that even the priests that were doing the ceremonies and everything couldn't do it because, you know, the cloud was like so big and it was so filled with God that they couldn't even do some of the services and they had to wait a little bit on it. But just think about that, about all of this. And then he says here, not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. Not one. Okay, by a raise of hands, and I'm just joking, do not raise your hands. How many times have you promised something and failed? I'm going to raise mine. We're all guilty of that, all right? It's just that nature, as I was talking with the kids about that. But there is one where he says a promise and it will be kept. You can bank on it. You can put your life on the line for that promise. Seriously. Why? Because God's promises always come true. Looking at this Old Testament, there's just confirmation that's in there. He says, may the Lord our God be with us as He was with our fathers. May He never leave us nor forsake us. May He turn our hearts to Him, to walk in all His ways and to keep the commands, decrees, and regulations that He gave our fathers. Yeah. When we know that His promises are going to be kept, it just makes it easier for us to trust Him. And though we don't always understand His way, we trust Him, because His promises are true. And it's just seeing this here. And sometimes we still make mistakes that goes along with it. But like Pat said, God's kindness, His forgiveness, His gentleness is really what draws us back to Him. Because there's something about that. I have to say, we had this Olympics thing. I probably shouldn't say this, but we had this Olympics thing the last day, and I am, by the way, I am a free person now. I'm done with my teaching. Yeah, I just finished up Friday, and it's like, wow, I'm going to have some time to be able to go out. And I did say I would go back and sub, only because I really like it there, but I can choose when I want to go. And so I'm pretty happy about that sort of thing. So in the Olympics, you know, the kids are excited about this competition between every grade level, all different types of competitions. And there was one teacher, the organizer of all of it. She got on the microphone and she reamed the students out for talking too much. And I understand, you know, and I follow the rules and know the rules and everything like that. But you know, it just set a whole different tone. And it's like, God isn't that way. God has that special, gentle whisper sometimes that we need to have. And sometimes He has to bark a little bit louder, right? Because we get our attention. But He has a gentleness about Him. And I think that's how we know God's Spirit, is by that gentle, loving Spirit that resides in us, and it comes out in ways that we's like, wow, I didn't. You know, when you're trying to console an individual that's going through a tough time, somehow you think you're doing nothing, but that person is receiving the kindness and the gentleness that you're giving them, because they're seeing God through you. You're seeing yourself sometimes, and that's, you know, you don't really know how to do it, but somehow God works through you to say the right things and to be there at those times. And it's that gentleness that we're looking for. And you just know that within all of that, that His promises really are true. And then we have this other promise in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now we know this to be the promise that the Christ, the Messiah, is to come. And guess what? It did come. This Christmas, you know, we don't really know what day Christ was born on. You get all these theologians, all these different dates and stuff like that. So we have December 25th. It's the day that we celebrate it. And we recognize that we take some time. And where, like Marianne was saying, it is Jesus is the reason for the season, because a fulfillment of a promise that the Messiah, the one individual, is to come and to lead us and to take, you know, like it says, that the government will be on His shoulders. That means that He reigns. The Jews saw this. And they're waiting for the Messiah too. But you see, their issue is they saw, it says there, that a son will be born, which means a human. They did not see the Messiah as God as well as human. And so that's why they rejected Christ. Because Christ said he is one with God. And the Jews could not tolerate that. And they could not see Him as the Messiah for that one particular reason. And yet we look back and we know that's God being and dwelling with us. And coming to us to save us from the bondage of sin. Because that's the only way that it can be taken care of. And it's like, so for this promise to be fulfilled, it's pretty awesome. And then we get a time. Oh, let me read on too. He says, "And of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Amen. Amen. And that's really what's going to happen. Then we get into the New Testament, where during Jesus' time, and Jesus is with His disciples. And now the disciples recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't understand completely what that means and the totality of it. But they understand that. And they're looking to Jesus to be that Messiah, that leader. And then Jesus tells them this in John 16:7. "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Now, Jesus is God. And Jesus just made a promise. He says, "If I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you." So, is that promise going to be fulfilled? Yes, of course, because that's God speaking. And God, when He says promises, they will come true. So we get into this area over here in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, where the Holy Spirit came down and looked upon like flames settling down upon the people. Right? And all of a sudden the disciples, you know, are speaking in tongues, other languages, and other people coming from all different places could understand them in their own language. These are disciples. These are fishermen. They don't have that schooling and stuff. How is that possible other than the Holy Spirit coming upon them and being able to do that? And look at this. This is the fulfillment of God's promise. Now, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father now, but the Holy Spirit has come to direct us and guide us. So the people are like, well, what do we do? And Peter's response is this: repent and be baptized, every one of you. All right? No shortage there, right? Trust God with your heart. Know that you need to follow His commands because that's what He wants you to do. And that's what the repent is. Stop doing those things that are out of alignment with God. Turn away from that and turn towards God. And then when you look at that baptism, all right, that's that public statement that I believe that Jesus is King, that He is Lord, and that we get to be able to do that. And He says, for the forgiveness of your sins. Just like the disciples, or not the disciples, but the Israelite nation, they went into the promised land. They still had to work to make that land free. But God was with them the whole time. In our walk right now, we still have things to do. But God is with us right now. Amen. To be able to do that and to give us the strength to do it. And He says here, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that which Jesus promised you. So people don't know what to do. So there are ministers that are out there preaching to the people of what to do. So who are the preachers now? No. Pat? It's all of us. She points to me, right? You can't see that from where you're standing. She points to me. Yeah, okay, I'll do that. But you need to do that as well. You need to let people know what to do to be able to receive the Holy Spirit, receive the promise of God. He says, the promise is for you. Specifically, and Peter's speaking to each individual that's there. But you know what? It's also you, as in the people I can see right here, or the people that can hear over the radio waves or the internet waves. And he says, for you and your children, and for all who are far off, and all whom the Lord our God will call. And who does He call? Everyone. Who responds? Some. Not everyone. Some do. Consider it a gift that God's promise has come to you. Because you accepted that promise. That is a huge gift to be able to have that. And you look at the effects of what we have. Had Christ not come, died on the cross, walked with all the disciples and talked about God and did all the healings and everything that went with that, the Holy Spirit would never have come upon us. Why? Because the sin that would be in us would still be separating us from the Father. But because of what Jesus did, the promise of the one that was to be born and to come, the Messiah, He came. And because He died on the cross, the Holy Spirit can now not just dwell in a temple or in the Ark of the Covenant, but He can dwell in our hearts. That is pretty phenomenal stuff. That's Christmas stuff right there. And that's the stuff that we talk about gifts. It's not the material gifts that really people are worried about. It's the gifts that we can give other people by sharing the gospel and the truth that comes with God's Word. That's eternal. That's forever. And it's like so, so, so important. And then we look at this here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But in keeping with His promise, guess what His promise is? Right? The gospel that's in there. We're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. These are the disciples that are speaking and knowing that there's going to be persecution. Because of what they believe. Not because of what they do, but because of what they believe. And they're holding on to the promises that God has spoken to them. That there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You can read that all about in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. Right? those promises are important because at that point, there will be no sin. Think about that. There will be no persecution. There will be God's presence, God dwelling with His people. That has not happened yet. But these individuals, Peter, hold on to that promise because he knows it to be true. Why? Because every promise that God has made prior to that have come true. So why wouldn't this one come true? Yes, they'll go through some suffering on this earth. Yes, they will be in a place where there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And there'll be nothing but God's righteousness that reigns there. Yeah, that's what we get to hang on to. That's what's there. And then we get into an area where the disciples were speaking. Oh, I'm sorry, in Galatians. I forgot about this one here. In Galatians chapter 4, chapter 20, or verse 28, it says, "Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise." And it's like, well, what does that mean? Who's Isaac anyhow? Well, Isaac is the son of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah. Now, if you know anything about Abraham and Sarah, we've talked about this before, but Sarah is barren. Right? Not only that, she's getting to be quite old, like in her 90s. Abraham's getting close to like 100. And God had promised them that He was going to be a father of many nations. That as you looked about the shore and see all the sand that's on there, there's going to be more people than the sands of the sea, you know, that are there. The whole point is like, how can that happen when Sarah is barren? And yet God said, and He actually sent some angels and said, basically, this time next year, your wife will be having a child. Abraham believed that. It wasn't 100%. He was trying to help God out at one point. But at any rate, Isaac was born out of a promise from God when it seemed like it was impossible for that promise to be fulfilled. And yet it was fulfilled. So out of Isaac comes Christ, because He is the one that was born based upon a promise from God. So what Paul is saying here, that we are like the children of a promise. That God was going to call the Gentiles and bring them in to His fold. That didn't happen when the Israelites, the Jews, were worshiping God. It wasn't until Christ came that the Gentiles got into the picture, big time. But because the Israelites rejected Christ, God opened it up to the Gentiles. That's you and me. His promise came true in that area. And that's what Paul's speaking about. Don't let God's promises fall short in our hearts, because they will come true. We don't know when, sometimes we don't know how, but we have trust in those promises. So in this, in 2 Corinthians, it speaks about that here's where the yes is yes and the no is going to be no. So Tom, you got to listen to this one closely, as we all do, right? In 2 Corinthians 1:18-22, "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him it has always been yes." Right? God never says no. Can you think of a point in Scripture where a person came to Christ when he was on this earth, asked for healing, and God said, "No, I'm not doing that today"? That never happened. Christ was exhausted. I mean, he's all day long he's been healing and stuff, and it's like it tired him out. But at any rate, he always was there. He had compassion for the people. He says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. Does that go along with what scripture we've been showing already? Yes, when God makes a promise, it is true. It will happen. And he says, yes, in Christ. So through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Well, what's guaranteeing to come? That new heaven, that new earth.
Life
all in general. And the return of Christ. So we look at this Christmas season of looking at, you know, Christ coming the first time, but that's already happened. But there's a promise that, guess what? He's coming again. And we are preparing ourselves for that arrival. That's what we do as Christians. We're preparing ourselves for that. And God gives us the strength and the knowledge and everything that we need to have to do that. How? By giving us the Holy Spirit as a promise to us. Now, do I have another verse here? Why is it not working? Oh, I'm on the wrong button. And then in Hebrews, quickly, Hebrews 10, 35 through 39. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. So do not throw away believing in the promises of God. You need to preserve so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. If he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Really simply put, when you go through struggles, continue to trust the promises of God. Don't trust your own understanding. Don't trust your knowledge. Don't trust your emotions. Trust the Word of God. That's what will get you through. Guaranteed. You can look at all the past generations, all those people that have struggled more so than us. They held on to God and they persevered. Right? And they held on to the end all the way through, which is really important. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 8, we're going over this in a Bible study on Thursday night, and we're talking about this. This book here is probably one of the last books that Paul wrote, you know. And he says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Right? Paul's was hanging on to the promise of Christ's return. Everything he did was based upon Christ returning. We don't know when Christ is going to return. Could be today. Are you ready? Could be next week. Will you be ready? Could be generations from now. Will your children and grandchildren be ready? Where are your hearts now? Paul was expecting Christ to return any moment of any day. And that's how he lived every day. Isn't that neat? To live on the promise of God, moment by moment. And look what he was able to accomplish. Not on his own, but with the Holy Spirit living in him and doing stuff. Pat, you were going to say something?
No, just one of the scriptures you talked about, I can't remember which one, but it talked about the home of righteousness, and now he's giving us the crown of righteousness. And when you look at righteousness, and that like that's given, it would be right standing with God. So he gives us the crown of that we're in right standing with God, and it'll be the home of right. We're in right standing with God.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
I just when you were reading that, I thought, oh, so we are okay.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God, we just thank you for your word. We just appreciate all that you've done for us. We don't stop here. We continue to believe on the promises because they are true. And through Christ, who is God, he will come true on those. We love you, Lord. We just thank you for your word. This we pray. Amen. Amen. Hope, what's your last song?
117, Joy to the World.